What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Absolutely Not Podcast, where we do the most and the least at the same damn time. I'm your host, Heather McMahon. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Absolutely Not Podcast. It's your host, Heather McMahon. I'm thrilled to bring in my guest here in a second, but I just kind of wanted to intro him. This is my buddy, Andrew T. Collin, and he's an incredible stand-up comic. And I went on his podcast and we had such a good time. I said, Andrew, you got to come on mine. And I really want to get some more hot, straight men on this podcast, because when I find the good ones, you know, ladies, I'm always trying to share it with you. He's newly single, so, you know, definitely check him out on the gram. Listen, here's the deal. I genuinely adore this guy. He's like one of my dear friends. He's so funny. He's opening up for Nikki Glaser on the road right now. If you get to see either of them anywhere on the road, run, do not walk to see them. He's so funny. He's so great. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to my linen couch, Andrew T. Collin. I have a very judgmental, bitchy guest today.
Jesus.
He already said my operation's bootleg because we're recording in my on my couch.
First of all,
sorry when I did your podcast that it was all fancy.
And I gave you a lovely introduction. I said, this woman is changing the world. This woman is bigger than UNICEF.
UNICEF? Can't even say-
God bless you.
Okay.
Handkerchief?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew T. What does a T stand for?
Ticklecock.
Ticklecock Collin.
Yeah. No, it's Todd.
Todd.
I hate the name Todd.
Andrew Todd Collin, who's an incredible comic.
We met
in Atlanta. You were opening for Nikki Glaser. You're on my couch right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Andrew. I feel like, okay, this is going to sound weird. We're best friends. We are best friends. I feel like we knew each other in a previous life.
I did too.
Okay.
And it wasn't good.
No, it was. We were in a female prison together.
Geronimo. What's it called?
Guantanamo.
Yeah. Handkerchief.
Okay. This is going to be a giggly podcast. This is a silly giggly podcast. Cause I feel like honestly, when I have like my girlfriends on, we don't even giggle this much.
Why?
Just cause I feel like you're giggly.
Yeah.
We have the same kind of sense of humor.
I know.
Do you think?
I know. And I match other people's and this is what I want to match. This is what I want every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get this every time from people. So then I got to be like, oh, so you have anxiety? Oh, that's sad.
Right.
But I just want to,
like to giggle.
I want to giggle. Because apparently in comedy, it's got to be serious nowadays. What are you doing? You got to talk about politics. You got to talk about geopolitical.
I don't know shit about the
Ukraine.
Ukraine. Don't know where it is. And I'm not trying to be ignorant about it. I just truly, like, I know to stay in my lane. My lane is talking about
Lane Bryant.
Exactly.
There it is.
I don't even know
what Lane Bryant is.
It's like a thick chick store.
Oh, so that was a dig.
It was a dig. And honestly, I'm down 2 pounds. So honestly, Andrew, get the fuck out of my apartment right now. Wow.
Don't treat me like Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Political.
I watched Chernobyl. Have you seen Chernobyl?
Can we get into it?
Okay, we can get into it. This is an absolutely not for me. One, thought it was a comedy. Two, thought it might have been, it was a mini series, variety series. So I thought it was maybe like a musical, like the Hamiltons. You know what I mean? It was not.
Talking about the plural?
Yeah, Hamilton? The Hamiltons. Because Hamiltons, there's like 8 different versions of Hamilton. There's like 6 different albums. I watched this on the plane to LA last week.
Oh, you're talking about that like the show, like John Adams, that kind of show, not the musical Hamilton.
No, I'm talking about the musical Hamilton. I thought Chernobyl, because it was a miniseries, I thought they were going to portray it like Hamilton. Like the musical.
I thought they were going to rap about sort of nuclear power destruction?
Yeah. And then in the first 30 seconds, everyone's faces are melted off. I just didn't see it coming.
Okay.
Okay.
You didn't know anything about Chernobyl? I didn't know much. I thought it was like in the 1800s. This was like 20 years ago. I really, not the 1800s, but no bullshit. Like right. 1920, 1925.
I thought the same thing.
We were alive.
It happened the year I was born. 87, I think.
Yeah, I was 80. I remember when I was a kid, they would have us because of the Cold War mm-hmm. or whatever, when everyone was getting the sniffles.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yep.
The sniffles. They would have us like hide under the desk. I remember like having a.
Oh, you
like,
were doing Cold War drills.
Yeah, Cold War drills.
I only did tornado drills in my school.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you go to private school in Georgia.
I went to private school in Florida. We were on the water. There were tornadoes there. Hurricanes.
Oh, did you have to do hurricane drills?
No, because it was during the summer. We were off school.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hurricane season starts June.
Yeah.
June to October, right?
Somewhere around there.
We talked about this before.
So Chernobyl.
We talked about this before. We're private school kids and we're very proud of it. And I don't think people realize that we've struggled too. What was your life like in Florida at private school?
Oh man. So I started private school in fourth grade. I went to public school. I did not do well in public school. I was such a little Jewish boy where there were no Jews. I went to this one school. It was all black people. It was in Fort Pierce Elementary. I remember the second day of school, a kid cut my ass with scissors and I was so little. And then I hit my head. I was running around in PE and I ran into a pole and I don't know. And I sliced my head.
So you got stabbed, sliced your head open and your parents were like, we're throwing you back in private school.
Yeah, first time. And then I couldn't get into the honors program in public school because I couldn't get a 130 IQ.
Right.
My mom said I had a 128. I think it was closer to 110, to be honest. Yeah, maybe under 100.
I'm looking at you now for sure thinking it was like under 100. Just like I can look at your face and go, not Mensa.
I have 87. I have Mensard. Okay. I don't know if I can say that. Can you say that? It's a mixture of a combo.
You're a comedian. It's
number
fine.
Two. So my mom in fourth grade puts me in this private school. It's all Christian.
Yeah.
And I'm this little Jewish kid. And right away, I swear to God, I was called a bagel and like Jew head by fifth grade. I didn't even know where these kids were getting it from. But so that was kind of tough. So right away I felt kind of out of place.
Yeah.
But, and I would travel an hour to school every day, which is pretty far.
Very far.
Yeah. And we had to wear uniforms. We had the blue, you know.
I love uniforms.
It's easy.
It's easy. When I got to college, I had no idea how to dress myself.
Yeah. It does simplify life.
It simplifies life. But I'm okay as a Christian, but I'm also technically Jewish. I'm upset that you were teased.
Dude, it was bad, but I also like, I won prom king too, but as a virgin. So I don't know if it was like a ruse.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it was a carry situation.
Right.
I didn't get blood poured on me, but biscuits and gravy.
Well, that's being in the South.
Hey,
that's Florida.
That down there.
They just popped by the Cracker Barrel before they went to prom and they just threw some gravy on you.
They threw the gravy on. So,
you're really perched up on my couch right now.
I was too relaxed. I feel like I'm not going to be silly enough. I'm going to just start talking droopy like this because I'm going into your couch.
Okay, hold on. You got to sit back. Sorry. Yeah. There's going to be a little wrestling on here. Sorry, guys.
So anyways, I'm kind of jumping all over the place.
No,
so then
it's fine.
I started in fourth grade and then like, you know, I made best friends with the starting quarterback and he was like the most popular kid. I always did that. I always became friends with the most popular kid.
Yeah.
I was never number one, but I was a strong number two.
That's good.
And I remember I kissed my first girl in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. We bumped noses. I didn't turn sideways. Jennifer mm-hmm. Hazelwood, shout out. Thanks for breaking up with me because I wouldn't give you tongue.
Really?
Yeah.
She was a freak in the fourth grade?
I don't know. Well, she was a sixth grader, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I kissed my first boy, like real kiss, like in fourth grade, and I kissed him. We were in line for carpool. For carpool.
Oh, carpool.
And I tagged him.
How do you say this?
Carpool. How do you say it?
You said it like carpal tunnel.
Oh, no, carpool. Carpool. Carpool? Did I say
carpool?
Sorry, carpool. Yeah. Carpool. I was in line for carpool. So I tapped this guy, Danny Arizari, and I kissed him. And I said, I have a secret to tell you. And then he turned to like, look at me.
You me dude, your first
I
person?
I me dude. I really
And what did he do?
I've always been the aggressor. I'm yeah. waiting for a lawsuit to come out. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He was kind of like, that was weird. I I was also a big kid. So I was like three times his height. It, honestly, when I look back, I probably took advantage of the situation.
It
my height,
like
my weight. It was a lot of things. Danny couldn't really escape. But then he ended up being my boyfriend for like 3 months, I think. Yeah, because I intimidated him.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, this big bitch won't leave me alone. You know. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the story.
That's pretty
of your
much
life.
The story. Yeah.
I mean, it's good it started early.
Yeah.
When was your first real boyfriend?
My first real boyfriend? High school. Oh, yeah. High school.
Like a senior and you were a sophomore?
Yeah, he went to a different private school.
Yeah.
And he's married with two kids now, but I'm still like 100% sure he's gay.
Who do you lose your virginity to?
Oh, this guy. Actually, it was my freshman year of college.
I lost it freshman year in
yeah,
college.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, you do everything, but you dry hump enough in high school. You know, I was giving BJs. I'm not proud of it.
I dry humped in college. I would come in my pants and then I would just come in my pants and then I would just throw away the underwear. I went through like 40 pairs of underwear.
Your mom's like, why am I sending so many Costco mega packs?
You think my mom was sending me care packages?
Yes, she did. You have a Jewish mother. Yeah, of course she was sending you underwear.
I told her about to come. She was cool about it.
Right.
She's like, you gotta stop.
Here's the thing. I just have a feeling I'm going to have boys because I feel like I'm a boy mom. You know what I mean? Like I could be a girl mom, but I just have a feeling I'm going to end up like birthing a hockey team. So I just need to prepare myself for that.
Yeah. I could see you being a cool mom.
Right.
But then your kid despising you for it. Like everyone loves the cool mom except their own kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then he's just like, he never hugs me back. One of those. And I'm a Pisces and I need to be held and loved.
It's like, it's not about you, mom.
Right.
This party's not about you.
And I'm like, but
Jack,
it is.
Steve, and Deborah, we're just hanging out. You don't have to bring over a fucking beer bong. You're not that cool, mom.
And I'd say, listen, first of all, Deborah's my friend.
she's also going to be a Delta.
She's, yeah, like literally, Deborah. If my kid brings home a girl named Deborah, she's 57 years old, Andrew.
Smoking fucking Newports.
Yeah, smoking Newports. Okay, so you were like second tier cool. You can move the pillows.
No, this is all fun.
No, there's
I'm having fun over here. I swear to God, I'm not uncomfortable. I know that you want to like control how I sit.
But there's too many pillows.
Not enough time.
Okay. Got it. Okay, but back to Chernobyl. So, which is essentially, you know, both of our lives.
Private school. So, yeah. So then like, do we really want to get in Chernobyl or do we want to go back to private school?
No, let's go back to private school.
Okay. So I end up, I stayed at the same school, St. Edward's in Vero Beach. And then I had some great friends, like great memories, but just some anti-Semitism. It was just like, there wasn't a lot of diversity. I never had a girlfriend throughout high school.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, I was short. I was small, little hands, you know, it's not good.
No.
And then like, I just felt like an outsider a little bit. And then I was like, oh, when I go to college, oh, I'll change, you know?
Right.
I didn't get any better.
Right.
No, it did. I got stabbed when I visited college.
Well, you went to school in New Orleans.
Yeah. First time I visited Tulane, I was visiting my brother and his roommate was an ex-Navy SEAL. And he was playing with a knife. This was the first day I was there. I was like all excited. I had on a Gap shirt and stuff.
Of course.
You know, tucked in with Banaka in my pocket.
Oh,
ready
Banaka
to go.
Was the jam.
Yeah, dude. I was spraying everything.
Two squirts. You're ready to deep throat. And I know that was your specialty. Yeah.
It was. I had to loosen up.
Yeah, for sure.
I had like four condoms, you know, just in case.
Yeah.
Bring an extra. Three pack plus one.
Listen, my buddy went to Tulane. He almost didn't make it through he was hazed so bad at his fraternity. He showed up one day just at my apartment. And I met him. He's actually really good friends with my fiance, but I met him through my girlfriend Christina and he just showed up. He's like, I just need to sleep here. He drove all the way from Tulane to Oxford, Mississippi, because like something happened and he couldn't talk about it. And he just showed up like in the middle of the night and was like, can I just sleep on your couch?
Like
and
we were shaking like, in the rain.
Yeah. And we were like, yeah, of course you can. And he never talked about it. And then he like left the next day and just didn't talk about it. So I'm waiting if like, we're going to find out like someone died. I didn't ask.
Did you kiss him?
I did not kiss him. No. Didn't kiss him. I interrupt the podcast to tell you, you know, guys, I am all about living your truth. And I've told you this from the beginning. Well, this is my truth. I am so done with products that pretend to be good for you that just basically aren't. That's why I'm obsessed with Playa hair care products. I found them in a Sephora one day and they truly changed my life. I like to look at the labels and actually know what's in the ingredients because they only use clean, naturally derived ingredients and everything they make is free of SLS and parabens. Why would you put parabens in your hair
and on your body. Think about it, Claire, okay? If you're like me and you don't have time to wash your hair every day and will do whatever it takes to preserve like your 3-day-old blowout, you'll love their New Day Mist. These products smell like you've been transported to Mexico for like a luxurious beach vacation. I'm talking like Cabo at the Montage, having a moment. And here's the deal. They work on all hair types. I use the New Day Mist all the time. I get up, I spritz it through my hair, and I feel like a new woman. If you want to try my favorite hair care brand ever, truly, I mean this from the bottom of my soul, I love Playa, then here's the deal. This is your chance. They are offering 20% off their products with the code ABSOLUTELY. All you have to do is head to their website, www.playabeauty.com, and I promise you'll be ready to toss all of your old hair care products out the damn door. That's right. We're talking about Playa Hair Care. Just make the change. Listen, they're obviously sponsoring the podcast now, but I have been an OG Playa girl for the longest time. The products will change your life. They're clean. They're great. They're fabulous. Your hair, and you will thank me later. Again, that's 20% off. Go to playabeauty.com and use my code ABSOLUTELY. Now back to the podcast. I mean, when I think back, like I've been with Jeff for so long, but when I think back of like, you know, just everything before we talked about this on your podcast, it's like, I had a good time. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I was like you. I was so afraid that I was going to get just straight up chlamydia. I mean, knock on wood, I have never gotten an STD. Can I just be honest?
I got an AIDS test when I was still a virgin.
You did? Yeah, because you were just panicking.
Because I fingered a girl and I bit my nails. Yeah. I swear to God, that's what I told the doctor. And he literally responded like this. He laughed like, yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like, you're good.
He's like, sir, like, what did you, I was such a hypochondriac until like literally 3 years ago.
Right.
I drove myself to the ER thinking I was choking to death one time because I was having a panic attack. I'm crazy.
You know, I never had panic attacks until after my dad passed. And then I had one in a Costco parking lot. I did not know what was happening. I thought I was full blown heart attack. I'd never had one.
Dude.
And now I get them like once a year, but I know how to like kind of talk myself down, but it's terrifying.
Dude, it's so terrifying.
Do you get them a lot?
I did. I'm on Zoloft now. So that helps.
So that's a,
and I don't drink.
Okay.
And that helps.
Yeah, that helps.
And you eat somewhat right. It just like you could do a lot of things to manage your brain.
Right.
But you don't, I didn't know what anxiety or depression or fucking panic was. I just thought like, oh, I'll just drink more Jaeger. That's what I should do. Oh, I should have a Jaeger bomb?
Right.
I'll put Red Bull in my system because I feel great now. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times like I did mushrooms and the next day I had a panic attack for the first time ever.
Well, it's because your serotonin levels are so fucked up, right?
Maybe. I don't know. And then it set me off for like.
Really?
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it started. I feel like it started then. A lot of times I would get a lot of panic at dinner, like if I had to sit at dinner with my family, because like my parents divorced and there was a lot of fighting and I never felt comfortable and we didn't do dinners growing up. So that would like spring it. And panic is fucking, it's really hard. And if you deal with it, like it's hard to describe it in words how scary it is. Because you think, I think sometimes I'm going to literally blow up. Like I'm going to stroke out and blow up.
Yeah.
Like literally blow up.
I had one a month ago and my mom was here. And my godmother was here. And it was weird. Sometimes I don't know how to handle my adrenaline anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound really fucking weird and probably like trite. But I had just co-hosted the Today Show. So I had the biggest like moment in my career, right? So I'm like on this high. I went to a lunch with my mom, my godmother, and I had a full blown panic attack afterwards. I don't know if because I was so excited, my adrenaline was spiked, that when I was coming down, my body freaked the fuck out. And I like was sitting at this like nice restaurant. I was like, I'm going to throw up. I can't catch my breath. My heart's racing. Da, da, da. I ran to the bathroom. My mom comes after me and I'm like, Mom, I'm having a full blown panic attack. She's like, this was one of the best days of your life. Why can't you handle it? Mine don't really happen now. Like in like sad, or like frustrating situations, it comes on after something like cool has happened.
I get it. Yeah. No, that happens to me. I think it's just because like, whatever they always say, it's like when you're fighting a bear, but I think you are in that instance, like when you're on the Today Show, you got to be so on, so in the moment and you are fighting a bear. You're fighting the bear of a millions of people watching.
Right.
Really, what we should be allowed to do after a moment like that, instead of sitting down at a restaurant, you should come home and lay down in bed and just smile a little and look at Instagram and like, and
turn
maybe watch a fun, like maybe watch like Dazed and Confused for the 30th time.
Right.
And just be like, that was cool. Cause I get that too. Cause like, I'll do like, I'll open for Nikki at like the Wilbur Theater and I'll get this insane high.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. And then you have to sit there and sit straight up and like
absorb it.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard.
So what did you do when you told your parents? And the hard part too is like, you don't want to seem weak to your parents. Like
right.
there's like a weakness aspect to it that right. I can't control my own brain, but I'm not crazy. You don't want people to think you're crazy. No,
it's just like, it's like your fight or flight.
Yeah.
I mean, I had all these things where like my like cortisol is through the roof. Like after my dad passed, it's very interesting to find like the mind body connection because I would wake up and just like full sweat, even though emotionally I was working through it. I had a great relationship with my dad, but there is still trauma around death. And I literally would wake up and like, I would just be sitting. I went to the doctor's office one day and I sweat through everything. Like the plastic, like the wax paper sheet. They were like, what is your central nervous system doing? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just so fucking nervous right now. And then I just struggled with that for like 2 years. And now I get panic attacks every now and then, but it's just the weirdest thing.
I know.
That you can't control. It's like, I'm emotionally happy as a clam right now. Why can't I control this?
I don't know. I think it's a reason why you're so good at what you do because mm-hmm. you're probably like a little anxiety driven. You're hypersensitive.
Right.
You know, that's why you're such an observational comedian because you've see everything. Also, yeah. your job is kind of dependent on it now because people want to know like how you're feeling about being at UPS yeah. and not liking the guy yes. in front of you who's clipping his toenails right, for some reason. Right. So that like shit affects you. So you're always like that. So you're always on.
Yeah.
So you're constantly on the Today Show and your fucking crazy little brain there. And I do it too. And
yeah, you're always on stage.
I was on, but yeah. And yeah, you're always on like, and until Zoloft and until getting like real help.
Right.
Like I didn't. I couldn't control that. And I thought I needed that to be funny. I thought right. I needed that to like, to see things or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'm dealing with that. My mom is sick right now and I don't deal with it well right. at all. My mom has COPD from smoking. So
really?
She's on like oxygen.
Wow.
And,
how long did she smoke for?
3 days.
Can I tell you, somebody came up to me at my dad's funeral and literally was like, cause my dad died of cancer, but it was pancreatic. And they were like, oh, was your dad a smoker?
Oh,
ask me that
God.
At the funeral. And I go, he was, but it wasn't lung. Like what the fuck, you know? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like what is that about? Like someone wants to be proven right. Like they want,
who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
That's an absolutely not for me on the Absolutely Not podcast is people when they find out, like when they come up and they just want to throw out, unwarranted medical questions. So also, she has COPD.
Also, like, I hate when I do this.
Yeah.
And it's a pet peeve of mine that I do it.
Uh-huh.
If I find out that someone dies, like, younger than me mm-hmm. or somewhere in realm, I want to know how, like, mm-hmm. right away. Like, and people always write on Facebook, they're like, Jeff died. He was such an amazing man.
And you just write, how?
How? How? And it's me with dealing with projecting because I'm afraid to die.
Right.
And I want to know, well, right. if he could die, he looks healthier than me. That guy had a six uh-huh. pack.
And then you find out he was putting dirty needles in his penis.
Yeah.
You know, something horrific.
Thank God.
Like, thank God.
Because
I'm not doing that.
Because it's not natural. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not old age. It's like Chris Rock's bit when he's calling everyone to see if they have AIDS. Like mm-hmm. he was going to get an AIDS test.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, Jennifer died. How'd she die? Oh, she got hit by a bus.
Right.
Thank the Lord. But anyways, yeah, my mom is sick and
your dad's an oncologist.
Yeah. My dad got cancer. Too.
Really? What kind?
Breast cancer, which is like a joke
in
itself.
Which is a thing. Yeah,
I know. 1 out of 100. Like one guy to every 100 women get breast cancer.
Wow.
And my dad had some nice big old titties, which probably doesn't help.
Right.
And I have kind of pretty good tits, so I'm a little worried myself. But yeah, no, it was terrible. He retired from being an oncologist, which is a cancer doctor, and he was working out and he was sore. And he was in the shower and he just felt his own. It's got to be weird to be an oncologist and feel a lump and know exactly
what it is.
What it is.
Yeah. Wow.
So he got a mastectomy where they cut your balls off. Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they put mm-hmm. it on your chest.
Yep. Yep.
I think
yep.
that's what it is.
That is exactly what it is. Your dad got a mastectomy.
Yeah. So he got
wow.
his left tit cut off and he jokes. He's like, he's amazing, man. Because like, he's like, oh, I'll get the other one cut off. And so then I'll help my golf swing.
Glass half full, baby.
Yeah. He's like, oh, man, I'll make the tour if I could just get the other one. You know, that's the only thing holding me back.
Can I tell you, as a golfer, I golfed in high school
mm-hmm.
and I developed like I literally between summer of junior year and senior year, I got like double D brass overnight. And my golf coach pulled my dad aside and he was like, I don't know how to tell, because I was on varsity golf. He's like, I don't know how to tell you, but your daughter's tits
yeah. are dope.
He literally said, he's like, hey, Mr. McMahon, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're going to have to rework Heather's swing. Because I had like, you know, I had a coach. I had like, you know, a professional swing coach, all this shit, because that golf is life when you're from the South. And literally he was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but Heather kind of developed over the summer. We're going to have to rework that swing. So, I was like, I can't pursue this. And this was honestly my way out. I was like, Dad, my tits are too big. I can't play professionally. It is what it is. Because my dad really wanted me to be in the LPGA. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not ready for that life. It's a lot of khaki. It's not my journey. I still play golf, but it's not my journey. So my tits saved my golf career, honestly. Yeah. You know, you see, I tell your dad I empathize and I get why he wants them removed. They actually helped me out.
Yeah, they did help.
They helped me out.
Well, you realize you can, you know, you don't need a skill anymore. You have tits.
I got tits.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. So your mom has COPD now. Did she, when your parents were together, did they get divorced when you were young?
We had 13.
Okay.
Fought a ton, all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what happens when you have COPD?
Your lungs are like 20%.
Wow.
Capacity. She has to be on oxygen all the time.
Wow.
It's debilitating. You can't reverse it.
Right.
Lung transplant is insanely invasive. It's so weird. Like, she was trying to get a lung transplant and you have to be like sick enough to be like on the top of the list.
Right.
But also strong enough to handle the transplant.
So you have to be able to like do an Ironman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, do you run marathons with 20% of your lung capacity? Because if you do, then we can maybe operate.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. It's
what
crazy.
The fuck?
It's crazy.
And I hope you don't mind that I ask. I was.
No, you could ask anyone.
I feel oddly like comfortable. Like when you're like, how'd they die? Now when I meet somebody and they're like, oh, you know, it's such and such past. I'm always like, oh, well, how? And I don't even realize that other people aren't necessarily ready to share.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm an open book. I'm like, oh, it was pancreatic cancer. This would happen. Da, da, da. And I'm like oddly comfortable sharing it. But I have to remember that some people are like, it's none of your fucking business.
I know. Anytime someone says, it's not none of your business, it's the only thing I want to talk about.
Me too.
It's the only thing I want to talk
about. You're like, well, you just, you know, opened that.
Yeah. I just want to talk about, like, why did your wife leave you?
Yeah.
Why are you sad? Why are you dealing with, because those are the most humanistic things and it connects us all and we all try to avoid it because no one wants to seem weak. It's the strongest thing you can do. Like, I remember, dude, I was like, dude, I could throw a fucking football 50 yards. I don't need help, you know, or my life isn't so bad compared to someone in Middle East that's dealing with shit. And it's like, that's all we do. And then we're like, oh no, you know what? Like, you're suffering, you're dealing with it. And, but yeah, I mean, the mom stuff is just like, I tend to avoid it. Like I'll
is she remarried? Mm-mm. So she's dealing with it on her own. And she is still in Florida.
She's in Florida. She's in Palm Beach.
Do you have any siblings down there?
My grandmother, but she's like 100.
Right. So it's just you and your brother, right?
I have two brothers and then I have step family too. I got redneck step family. I got Jake the Snake.
Oh,
there's
damn.
A whole nother. Yeah.
In Florida.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Jake, Regina, and Melanie.
Oh, Regina.
Jake loves surfing. Uh-huh. Every picture he's with a dead fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to tell
you. Wearing a lot of Salt Life t-shirts.
Yeah. He is Salt Life. It's one thing. He doesn't have to wear the shirt.
Right.
To know. You just look in his blue eyes and know that that boy is salt till he dies. He's a walking bass. He's a snook.
Yeah.
He's a freaking dude.
I've said this for a long time. People make fun of me being from Georgia, like people who don't know the South. And they're like, wow, Georgia rednecks. I'm like, no, 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 no. I will take this to my grave. Like, Florida rednecks are another level of backwoods.
It's kind of like
bullshit.
Louisiana rednecks. Yeah. Cause you got the swamp.
You know,
I think water does something to you.
Yeah. Well, when I was just doing the tour down in Florida, we were driving from, and I drove past your town, Port St. Lucie. We were driving from West Palm to Tampa. So you got to go basically across the state. And I kept seeing all these ads for Everglades University. And I'm like, one, who the fuck goes to Everglades University? And I asked everybody in Tampa, not a single person raised their hand. I'm like, what the fuck is the mascot for Everglades University? Like a baby arm dangling out of a gator's mouth. Like, why would you ever go to Everglades University? They were like, that's not a real college. Nobody goes there, but people like in middle of Florida go there.
My stepbrother graduated from there.
Okay, great. Yeah.
He was magna cum laude there.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. He drove an airboat.
Uh-huh.
I like the idea of like, what's the bet? Like Everglades, you got airboat? Airboat.
Uh-huh.
You got Airboat 2 and Airboat 3. That's all you get. You get on an airboat and you take that thing and you get a job as a guide.
Yep.
I went on an airboat thing in the Everglades. First time. Like, I grew up in Florida. My dad is from New York and my mom's from Chicago.
Yeah.
They met. My dad was in Chicago medical school and then they moved to Miami and that's where I was born. And then, but like my dad, they weren't like beach people. They were right. There were, you know, Northerners that were living in Florida. So I wasn't like involved. I was in salt life. I wish I was though. Part of me, like I regret like not.
I never understood people who move to Florida and don't live by the beach. It like to me, that's sense. A character yeah. flaw.
It's insane. I lived in Orlando for like 2 years.
The fuck was that? Did you see that?
Yeah, it's just Al Qaeda.
It's my fucking neighbors.
Oh, neighbors. Yeah.
Sorry. They like, I swear to God, the guy does like intense bodybuilding upstairs and he just drops the weights.
He works out in his
apartment. To God, he's like doing Olympic weightlifting in his apartment upstairs.
How's he look?
Do you hear this?
Yeah.
Sorry, if you guys are hearing this, the man's just like dropping weights. I've never seen him. I don't want to see him because he's fucking doing this all day.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyways, I'll get my broom out in a second.
Yeah, my neighbor plays music till like 2 in the morning. I mean, I live out in Bushwick, which is like not gentrified yet and it shouldn't be. And my neighbor is these Spanish, like Puerto Rican guys, and they just blast music.
Right.
And you would think it'd be reggaeton, Tom Petty. And I'm like,
really?
You know what? It's kind of nice. I kind of like this.
I grew up on Tom Petty. Tom Petty to me is just, it's very nostalgic.
Dude, I went to Tom Petty the month before he died.
Oh.
And he was terrible. No.
Wait, how did he die again?
Pancreatic cancer? No. Yeah. That's a horrible joke. He was a smoker.
Fuck.
He died of like, I mean, kind of a drug overdose. He had a heart attack. I think it was like, he just mixed some drugs and like, he was a smoker. He was actually a smoker and like, whatever. He lived hard.
Do you smoke?
I don't.
Yeah.
I've only smoked like 9 cigarettes in my life, probably.
I smoked in college. You know, you take an Adderall and you pretend to study, but I was a theater major, so I didn't actually have to study for shit. But I was so jealous of my friends who were like business majors. So I just like show up at the library and like I just come from ballet class and like my leotard and I just like take an Adderall with them and then like stand outside and smoke to be like, yeah, I have a normal college experience.
Well, smoking is like cool. It's like romantic. Yeah. You're in college. Oh, it's so hard. What am I going to do? You know, I got to learn Macbeth. Oh no.
Right. Thou shalt not.
These aren't even real English words.
And now if I'm at a party and I'm like, who's got a cigarette? Get it out. Yeah. My hair's going to smell the next day. This blowout has to last me a week.
Yeah. Dry bar doesn't pay itself.
Exactly.
Dry bar.
Get that shit outside.
What a concept, dry bar.
It's genius.
Are they going to cut the hair? No.
No, we're just going to just dry
comb it.
Just
for a little while. Dry bar where you get your hair combed because you're too lazy. It's unbelievable.
That's not it at all. But what a straight man perspective. Where they comb your hair. That's not what they do, Andrew.
What, they tell you where to part it?
No, they blow it out. They blow it dry. Do you know how long it takes to blow dry hair?
Yeah, too long.
Well,
just let it dry natural. What's the difference? How much different does it look when you go shower?
It looks different.
Yeah. Are you curly natural?
No, but I mean, it'll just look a little wild. Jeff calls me Heathcat. Okay, whatever. This is so cheesy. Because I wake up and I have like a lion's mane. Like it's just wild blonde hair, you know, and I'm just ferocious.
But why not lean into that? I mean, you're already wearing a cheetah shirt.
I know.
Just go full fucking Amazon.
I know. Full cheetah. I love cheetah.
There's no cheetah in the Amazon. Well, I don't know why we say Amazon. It's racist. I don't know.
No. I mean, there's wild cats in the Amazon.
Oh, yeah. There's a jaguar for sure.
Okay, jaguar.
Carpool.
Yeah.
Carpool. Hey, we were down here in the carpool. What's that?
Out there in the carpool.
We're carpooling.
If you're like me and you're trying to get in shape right now and you want cute workout gear, but you refuse to go into these stores and spend $200 on a pair of pants, then guess what? I've got a deal for you. That's right. I'm talking about Fabletics. You know that really cool brand that you've seen on the interwebs and you're like, who created it? Oh yeah, that like adorable Kate Hudson. Well, guess what? She actually is making the best stuff ever. I ordered a pair of the Trinity High Waist Pocket Capri Pants. And honestly, they suck you in and make you look so good. I was sick and tired of going into a lot of these stores to buy activewear and they didn't have my size. But Fabletics has all of the sizes and I am so here for it. The cool thing about Fabletics is if you go on their website, You do a 60-second like quiz, and then they essentially break down all the things on their website that would be perfect for your sense of style. I'm telling you, if you want to get a lot of cool variety in your wardrobe when it comes to athletic wear, check out Fabletics. The cool thing is too, right now, I can give you a deal. That's right. I'm talking about a special inside exclusive deal. You can get two pair of leggings that's usually $99 for $24. All you have to do is go to fabletics.com/absolutelynot and get two leggings. That's right. For only $24 and also free shipping on orders over $49. I'm telling you, I cannot even begin to describe how great these pants are. And the one thing is, when you're working out, you're trying to get in shape like I am, you want a plethora, you want a variety. Right now I've been rotating the same like two pair of pants. So I went on fabletics.com/absolutelynot and I got some new styles and collections and prints. They're changing things up all the time. So whenever you're on their site, you're always going to get the latest and greatest new trending pieces. Here's the thing. Also a pro tip. If you guys become a VIP with Fabletics, you'll get up to 50% off regular pricing and instant access to their latest collections. Plus, the best part is that there's no commitment to order on a regular basis. You can skip any month. So add in your email address and go to fabletics.com/absolutelynot. And you'll get two pair of leggings for 24. That's right. fabletics.com/absolutelynot. Now back to the podcast. Okay. Anyways, so you're dealing with some shit. And you're like, here's the thing. You're already, even though, where were you born?
Born in Miami, but but raised 2 hours north.
This is why you'd be perfect for my sister. She was born in Miami. My parents met in Miami. I feel like if you were born in Miami, you just, things happened.
Yeah, but I only lived there 2 years, so I don't feel any ties to Miami.
Right.
But
I hate Miami.
What do you hate about it?
Do
you hate like the downtown, like
Collins, when I go to Miami, to me, everyone like wants to have their bachelorette party in Miami or even just like a weekend in Miami. I get down there and I'm just stressed the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
I don't want to go night clubbing and I still drink, but I'm just like, everything is too much. And to me, South Beach is a little bit of you're bamboozled because it's not, you have to walk 65 miles from your hotel pool out to actually put your feet in the ocean. You know what I mean? I'm like, I didn't realize I needed to wear my Fitbit and get my fucking steps in.
It's true. You want a pool?
Yeah.
But you want to be able to roll out of the pool into the ocean and then roll back in. That's what you want.
45 seconds better. Max.
I'm more of a pool guy next to a beach than on the beach.
Right.
People that lay in sand blow my mind. I don't get those people really.
Oh, I see. I like the beach, but I do love a pool.
Yeah.
I start at the beach.
This is the most private school.
It really is. I start at the beach, start at the ocean, usually come up to the pool for lunch and then I stay there till the sun goes down.
What do you do for lunch during the day?
What do I do for lunch?
Like usually like on a vacation, I usually go with like,
I hit a ceviche. Are you asking my order?
Yeah, ceviche. Give me the thing that's like towered up.
Oh,
you know?
A seafood tower?
Oh, seafood tower.
Let me tell you what.
Where do you even start?
Where did we start?
Do you start on the bottom and work your way up or do you?
Well, usually the oysters are at the top.
Yeah.
Right? No, there's usually some sort of like crab dip at the top. So I get the cracker and I get the crab dip and then I get the oysters and then I work my way down to the actual like half shell lobster, you know? I love seafood.
Oh my God. Fucking crab legs? With the like mustard, the mayonnaise mustard. Swim in there.
The remoulade. It's a remoulade. You know what I love? Vignette? Yeah. Vignette? Sauce?
Carpal?
Yeah, carpal. You know, the fucking like vinegar based.
Okay.
Well, I used to work at restaurants. Why can I not think of what
I get
this?
I get what
Mignonette?
You're saying.
Mignonette? I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
This, you know, the vinegar sauce.
Short stories. Vignettes. Yes.
Whatever. I'm having a stroke. That you put in your damn oysters.
We both just end this with panic attacks and we're just like crying on the other couch.
Do you know that female heart attacks, like the signs for them are, it's literally just like my everyday life.
Yes.
You get a headache, you kind of have brain fog and your stomach hurts. It's not like you're having a full heart attack like a man where your left arm goes numb and like the chest pains. I took a CPR class and they were like, women have heart attacks all the time and they don't know it. I'm like, I have acid reflux every day of my life. Am I having a heart attack?
Dude, I've gone to the ER. I told you, I've driven to the ER twice thinking I was having a heart attack, but it was just
But you thought you were reflux. Choking.
No, but the other ones were acid reflux.
Okay.
And then like I'd get pain in my lower right here.
Yeah.
Like right below my tit. And then it would go into my arm. And then I'd be like, well, why is the pain in my arm? Is it my left arm or right arm? Then you're Googling right arm stroke, left arm's heart attack?
Yeah.
What about no arms? Yeah. What about both arms? What about, you know, and then you
just, if the pulsates up to your head, you're like, my penis is about to fall off.
I wish.
Yeah.
Cut it off. Then my golf swing would be better.
Yeah. It would help your golf game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even if a little bit of yours fell off, you'd still be well endowed.
I wish that was the case. I want to tell all your listeners my cock is fantastic.
Right.
But I have a golf swing cock.
Right.
You know, Jeff's, it's athletic.
Jeff said the other day, Jeff gets such a boner for like finances. Like he's my, I call him my financial advisor because he's making me like make an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
And last night we were doing finances and he was like, let me tell you
finances.
What, I love this so much. My dick just went from 6 to 12. And I go, is that what it did, Jeff? It went from 6. Okay, cool, cool, cool. And he was like, shut the fuck up, Heather. I'm just trying to make a point that I love Excel spreadsheets. I'm like, this is embarrassing for both of us.
It really is. And did he put that in an Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, he did.
His double up?
Yep.
In a function?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Excel?
Mm-hmm.
I was a finance major. I cheat on everything. I don't even know how I graduated.
You were a finance major?
Dude, I cheated. I cheated on advanced finance. I got an A on the exam. I didn't bring a calculator in. I didn't even write down work. I just wrote down, you know, 9.037, 6 point, whatever, just the answers. I think my teachers thought it was hilarious.
I had to drop
either
out.
Either that or they thought it was like Goodwill Hunting. Like it was one or the other.
Well, like I said, I've looked at you and there's a lot of special things going on.
Yeah, there's bad will, the other word.
My
I can't
whole
even think
family's
of
Mensa except me.
Really?
No, literally. Well, my dad was 100% Mensa. My sister's a fucking genius. And then they were like, got my SAT scores and it was bad.
What were you?
It was bad.
1, 2, 3, 11, 7.
11, 10.
You idiot.
That was the highest. That was the highest.
I got 1,000 the first time. 1170 was untimed.
I got a 970
and I had
the first
test.
Time.
They gave me the test too with the answers. No. But yeah, it was untimed and I still got 1170.
Well, here's my thing. And also if you're listening and you're young, the numbers have like tripled. Ours was out of like 1500, wasn't
1600.
It? 1600. Okay. So I was still in.
It's not terrible. 1110 is not terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great.
My sister made like a 1580 the first time she took it. She went to Georgia Tech. Okay, actually, this is so funny. When the Lori Loughlin, like Felicity Huffman scandal came out, my sister told me this literally like, that was what, like 4 or 5 months ago? We were at dinner and my sister's like, oh yeah, well, when we got your SAT scores back, dad called me because my sister was a freshman at Georgia Tech and said, hey, you have to go take your sister's SATs for her. And he was dead serious. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, dad threatened me that he would like cut me off financially if I didn't go and take your SAT scores because he was so worried about how dumb you were that you weren't going to get into college. Oh, and my sister was like, no, I'm not doing that, dad. That's illegal. Like, love you, bye. And my dad was pissed at her because he was so worried that I wasn't going to get into Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was never even my path.
Like,
I'm a politician.
Yeah.
I was student body president and like worked the room.
Communications. You're a
communications.
Yes. You're your guru.
Yes.
You are a genius in that.
Thank you.
You really are.
But like I
you're
dropped
brilliant
out
of- at doing nothing.
Thank you.
At having big tits, not playing golf, and gift of the gab.
Gift of the gab.
You're a 1680 with gift of the gab.
Honestly.
And your dad should have known that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm putting that on my tombstone.
We should bury him up and tell him that your daughter is a genius. You're Mensa.
I'm sales Mensa. Like I literally, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to go into like pharmaceutical sales and
real
push
estate. It would
real
be
estate. One of those. That's my gift.
We should start a show where people pitch stuff to us and then we do nothing.
And then we just shut them down.
Yeah. We just go, that's a horrible idea. And like, oh, cure for cancer, pancreatic. Oh, that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
But also you're an idiot. Get out of here. Your rats are not telling the true story. I had an idea.
Yeah.
Dude, I've had a lot of ideas. You ever have ideas to try to make money? Like before you like comedy was like,
can I tell you something? I won Invent America at my high school or in elementary.
What was the invention?
So it was called the Lighty Nighty Buddies. So this was the idea. You wore, as a little kid, I think this was like seventh grade. So I took those the mini beanie babies that you got at McDonald's and I cut them open and I put little flashlights in them. And then I Velcroed them to a pair of flannel pajamas. So it was an invention for little kids. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like scared, you just have your little lighty nighty buddy on you and you just squeeze the little beanie baby and it would light up like a little flashlight. But they were like little things that could connect to your pajamas. Fucking genius.
Yes.
I won. But then let me tell you, so one of the things that you got like this big plaque or whatever, and they gave you two ice creams. So you got to put both, you got to give an ice cream to a friend because I was a fat kid. I hoarded both ice creams. So I put a fudgesicle, I ate one at lunch, and then I put another fudgesicle in my book bag. I got up to go to carpool, right? My carpool.
Where?
Carpool.
Tunnel.
And my red book bag all of a sudden had fudgesicle melting down the back because, of course, I was such a dumb kid. I didn't think the ice cream's going to melt.
Yeah. I mean, you're an inventor. You
I'm an inventor. I don't have time for logistics. So I'm walking to carpool.
Look, Albert Einstein couldn't comb his hair.
Thank you.
He had fudgesicle all over him.
All over him. So I'm walking to carpool and all of a sudden I feel this like weird sticky stuff going down my leg, which now it looks like I've diarrheaed myself. And I was like, my girlfriend Annie's like, Heather, what is it? I go, oh, fuck. I put that fudgesicle in my book bag. And she looked at me like, you won Invent America, but you saved an ice cream for later and put it in your book bag. She was like, wow. So that's me. That's where I always balance myself out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big balance.
Big balance.
I actually do a dumb, I think of a dumb thing and then do a dumber thing. I don't like my balance is just dumbest to dumber.
Okay.
Like somewhere that first of all, that's a great idea. The only thing that that idea, I don't know why it never got picked up. I don't know why that's not a thing. I think kids are so afraid of, they need a nightlight. It's just you roll over, you could like lay on it and it could maybe hurt your leg when you're sleeping. That's my only thing that I'm thinking about.
That's true. Honestly, well, you debunked it. So
dude, I had an
Shark Tank.
I did a fucking science experiment.
Yeah.
Where the science experiment was, does smell affect your taste? Like in like seventh grade or whatever. And so like you give apples and oranges and like whatever, all these different fruits. And then I would cover the nose and then you try the fruit, which you could tell by texture what fruit is what. I didn't even think of that.
Right.
I never covered the nose. So kids were getting 100 out of 100. They're like, that's an apple. They're like, orange.
Orange. So you didn't do the...
The control.
Yeah,
I don't know. These people are good.
Yeah.
100 out of 100 are guessing. And then like I got home, I was like, oh, I never brought in the clamp or whatever.
But your science teacher was just like, it's okay, Andrew.
It's okay, boy.
Yeah it's okay.
You're the only Jew here.
We'll be nice. Yeah.
It's all right. You're getting a lot of shit for being Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. We're thriving in our comedy careers. And okay, what you were saying earlier, and I won't keep you here too long, but what you were saying earlier.
I could talk to you.
We could talk all day long.
I think people would probably end it or drive their car off a cliff, but I'll tell you what. I will tell you what.
Right.
This is the best thing ever.
Well, you know what it is? Okay, like we were saying, we're really good at our jobs. Like people are like, if you didn't do comedy, what else would you do? Yeah, I would do sales because essentially it's comedy, right?
I was terrible at sales though.
Oh, really?
Because I don't believe in it. If I don't believe in a product, I can't. I worked so many different sales. Not to mean to cut you off, but I worked so many sales jobs. I did real estate. I made I have a whole nother story about making hundreds of thousands of dollars in real estate on one deal and then spending all that money in a year and like ending up like in insane debt and like ruining my life.
Really?
But like had a sick ass Mercedes AMG for like a month.
It was on lease and then they immediately took it back.
Why do you think
that Jeff has me on a spreadsheet? Because he says, Heather, now you're touring, you're making some money. He's like, well, I got to rein you in because I'm a Pisces. In my actual astrological breakdown, it says, you know, sensitive, empathetic, creative, terrible with money. Mm. That's just me.
And he wrote that in.
Yeah.
Well, so he's trying your financial advisor. Right. Here's the thing. I think, have you ever had a lot of money before? Did you do anything before?
No, I've worked every restaurant job. I mean, I made a lot of money bartending.
Yeah.
It was stupid and I didn't have a lot of expenses. So I was cash heavy. It was kind of like being a stripper. I was real cash heavy.
Yeah. Cash heavy though. If I have cash in my pocket,
forget it.
Get it out of there.
Yeah.
What are you doing in there?
Right.
It just, I went through like $300,000.
I thought another
million was coming into me. Like this was during the boom in Florida. Like if you looked up, remember like The Big Short where those two Miami guys are like the dumbest real estate people.
Yeah.
That's who me and my business partner Rusty were.
Yeah.
And it's a whole long story, but like we sold one orange grove, like 60 acres.
Right.
And then I'm making all this money. And I just thought money would just keep. This is the easiest thing ever. And that's what happens when you make money overnight. You're like, oh, this is easy. You know, like everything's easy. And then
I felt bad to buy myself a nice purse. Like I got a little bit of the tour money and I went into a store and I wouldn't even buy it at Gucci. I said, I'm going to wait till I go see the outlet because I'm going to Italy in like 3 weeks. I was like, I'm going to wait to the outlet because I feel too bad. And Jeff was like, you can buy yourself something. One nice thing.
Yeah.
One. But I'm like, I'm so afraid it's going to go away. You know,
I know, but he also, I think he loved you, and I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but do what you want to. Don't feel like...
No, he was telling me.
I know, but he shouldn't even have to tell yourself that.
Right.
You deserve it. I mean, it's going to run out, and you're going to be poor again, and you're going to end up living, you know...
But then my sex tape will drop that nobody wants to see.
And then you're
going to
lose even more.
And I'm going to lose even more, and then everyone will sue me just because they weren't ready for that. Okay, but...
That's the thing, dude. There's nothing sadder than someone dropping us. Nowadays, there's too many sex tapes. Like Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
There were no other ones. There was not Pornhub. There wasn't so much porn out there. People are going to try to recreate, like get their career going. You're not going to, nothing's going to happen. Maybe for 3 days, people are going to go, hey, did you see, you know, Natalie Portman's asshole? Yeah, but you know, okay. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right, sweet.
That's a wrap.
Okay.
So you had
maybe
money.
Hers would be nice. That would be. Yeah. So then, I ended up, the market crashed. I lost my apartment that I bought for $220. It was worth $60,000 6 months later. I got my car repoed from my dad's house. My dad has a nice house. And the repo guy was like, this don't add up. I was just take my Yukon out of here.
Just take it.
Just take it, man. Don't look at me in the eyes.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not starting. I was like, I know. I don't know what's happening. Just get it.
And
out.
Then that led you to comedy.
No, I did. Well, that didn't even. Well, that was at like 25. And then I tried like a couple different things. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was like 28. I still kind of, even when the market crashed, I still was kind of doing real estate. Then in Orlando after Vero Beach. And then moved to New York. I want to be a screenwriter.
Right.
Thought, hey, I would sell a screenplay for
$100. It's a lot of work.
I wrote a movie. It was the worst movie. we should read it next time.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do our live
reading.
It's
called Laughers for Hire. It's about two professional laughers going to LA to take on the laughing game.
Okay.
And then computers come out and
ruin their lives.
There's no need for real life laughers. I know it sounds brilliant when you hear it, but I'm telling you, when you read it, it's not like Shawshank.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, long story short again, I end up going back to Florida. Oh, no. I go to New York. I end up working for my brother. I have a panic attack while working for him. Oh, I worked in as a fishmonger for a while.
Right.
Cutting fish. Then I worked for my brother, had a panic attack in Miamisburg, Ohio when I was working in a factory. Mm-hmm. Went back to Florida, ruined me and my brother's relationship for a while. It was terrible. Went, worked in nursing sales, like, because my dad was a doctor.
Right.
So I'm getting like all these jobs just because of family stuff, you know, like connections and stuff. And like, that's because I was lazy and I never did anything for me because I didn't know what I wanted to do, really. Right. So anyways, I end up working and like, I would go into these doctor offices and I would never sell the nursing, like at home nurse. I would just go in there and be like, hey, good sandwich. Hey, you like the sandwich? There's cheese on that one.
Uh-huh.
And that's tuna fish. And I would just point out the different food and then go, okay.
Gotta go.
A good one. I'll be enjoyed. Like that was it. I never got to the pitch because I was like, I didn't want to memorize or whatever. And I ended up, my buddy got a divorce and his buddies paid for an improv class,
a
stand-up class. And he did it. And then like, he knew how ridiculous I was. He's like, dude, you got to
do it.
And that's how I got into it. He just paid for the class for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it in Palm Beach. And then a year later I moved to New York and then I was, I was a dog walker for 7 years and Nikki found me dog walking.
I love that.
She took a picture of me. I told you that story and put it on Instagram, me walking a dog with wheels. And then she hired me as a dog walker. And then she slowly.
I know you were funny.
Yeah. And then I was doing stand up. I was ready. I was, you know, 7 years into stand up. And now, now I'm a full time comic and I'm going on the road and it's fucking dope. Yeah.
It's wild, isn't
and
it?
And I've like worked on myself and newly single. So, you know.
Well, if you're newly single, when you're ready, I will put you on my Instagram because you know I've gotten everyone is getting married. If you don't want to get married, you don't have to get married. But if you want to date, I'm a matchmaker. That's the Yenta in me. I will put you up and I will set you up with some fabulous women. Mm-hmm. I love and I love to match people up.
I do too.
No pressure. When you're ready, you come to me and I will put you out there because you're a great guy.
Oh, thank you.
You are. If you can't see him, he's a handsome Jewish man, funny. He's an Aries.
I know. I'm everything a woman wants. I have, you know, A golfer's penis.
A golfer's penis lives in Bushwick.
And a bowler's balls. That's what they say.
Yep.
I live in Bushwick, but you know, things are happening. I'm going on a theater tour next year. If you go to NikkiGlaser.com, you can see all my dates. I open for her everywhere, you know.
And I've seen Andrew perform and he's funny as shit.
Thank you.
Look, these motherfucking neighbors, I'm trying to compliment you and they're slamming doors. You're really funny. You are funny.
And you're the best.
You're the best.
I mean, this friendship, I don't know, like maybe in my head, I'm seeing like really happy that we've met and I'm not just saying that.
Yeah.
But like I asked, I was like, hey, do you want me to do the pod? Like a couple of days. And then you were like on a plane and stuff. I was like, oh man, she just said that just to like, she really doesn't like, I'm like going through all these things. Like she, I mean, I thought we had a connection. I was like, I thought we had a nice connection. And you know, I'm from the South. She's from the South. We were laughing. So, I mean, we had so many stories, but maybe this was all like, she hates me. I think probably.
Oh no, I'm straightforward. Okay. No, I thought you were hysterical.
Yeah.
And I need a lot more straight guy friends in my life.
Cool.
I do. I like kind of grew up with that. Like I need more some bros. Also, you'd love Jeff.
Yeah.
Do you watch sports?
I get along very well with men.
Okay.
Like a lot of people too. Like, cause I open for Nikki and I'm around women so much. They think I'm a little beta bitch.
I don't think you're a beta bitch at all.
But like, no, I can like throw,
I feel like you could hit me.
Punch.
You could hit me.
Oh, dude, I could hit all over you. Yeah, I would leave you with so many bruises.
Yeah, I feel like you're like one joke away from just beating the shit out of me.
You wouldn't even have to be a joke. Could be just, you could say something sad, I'd punch you.
Okay, let's.
It could be a compliment.
We could talk.
Say one more compliment. I'll fucking knock you out in your own place on your white couch.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe we shouldn't do so.
Okay.
And
so
with domestic
I'll get you
abuse.
Out of here. I'll get you out of here.
I don't want to leave.
I know. We've literally been talking forever. So because this is the Absolutely Not podcast and I haven't even gotten to the voicemails. It's just, I want to hear though, do you have an absolutely not in your life? It could be, or an absolutely yes. It could be something that you're loving right now or something that you're just like, why haven't we broken this down?
Okay. I didn't know that that's what we do here.
Yeah. Cause we've been chit chatting for so long. I didn't even bring it up.
I kind of, I'm more of like, you know, a free speaker, you know, I don't really accept myself by what's it called? Segments.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a segment man. if you will.
Right.
You know, will. And, if you, so I, did people go, so I just love the idea of repeating something and people losing their mind. In their car.
Right. Like, being like, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up and get to the point.
Right.
We're into this for absolutely not. Stop saying segment, Will, if you will. this is my biggest pet peeve. I fly a lot. I know a lot of, can you believe the airport?
Can you believe it?
And this happened. It's a funny story too. I hate, if you're out there, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Get up from your seat. When we finally dock at the plane, if you're fucking in seat 34, you wait for 33.
Thank
and
you.
32 and you get in a fucking line.
Yep.
This is America.
Yep.
There's fucking lines. You're not VIP where you're paying. You didn't pay for first class, bitch. You're back here with the rest of us and you just skipped an old lady who has a bad hip because you have to go fucking get your Starbucks or maybe you have
absolutely
a connection.
Absolutely.
If you have
not.
A connection, I could tell connection face versus
I can smell it
versus I think I'm better than you face.
I can smell you're trying to get to Boca. I can smell you got to connect to Philly.
That's fine. Connection. Uh-huh. If I can smell a connection and you're, I get it. Cause then there's an urgency.
Right.
That like, oh, I'll go get there. And you maybe say it, but if you're not looking at me in the fucking eye, cause I know you just want to skip me.
Right.
And you think you're better than this fucking line and you might have anxiety and I feel bad if that's the case. But if it's not anxiety or a connection,
or you're having a panic attack.
Absolutely not. So this happened to me, motherfucker. This motherfucker skipped me and I was right behind him and I start cursing him out, but I have my headphones in and I'm like saying it to myself. Like,
so you're passive aggressively?
27E, piece of shit. You know, when you're fucking like,
your name's Nathaniel.
You call yourself Natty Ice, you bitch.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't realize because I had the headphones in. I was saying this all out loud.
Right.
And he could hear the whole thing and he turns around with his balding ponytail. And I was like,
which is an aggressive move in the first place.
Yeah. You can't be named Nathan Tail. So I end up fucking pretending that I was listening to a rap song. So I just start rapping all the things I was saying, but with just a beat.
Right.
I was like, you mother 27E, turn around, bitch, motherfucker, ponytail, motherfucker, turn around, bitch, turn around. And he looks at me like, this is the worst rapper
right.
I've ever heard. This is little Jew head.
Yeah.
And that's my absolutely not. Like, I mean, I don't understand how people can't be aware. Be aware out there. If you're fucking standing in front of stairs,
be aware.
Be aware. If you're fucking walking back and forth looking at your phone like a goddamn alligator, be aware.
But here's the thing. This comes full circle because we're comedians. We're so observant. And I think it's our burden. It's our cross to bear. I know what's happening at every moment of every second. I've got eyes in the back of my head. I'm absorbing so much that I think people are really and truly, it's a bigger picture thing. People are insensitive to the fact that comedians have to see all this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't thinking of us. And that's what it comes down to.
And they shouldn't be. They really shouldn't.
Okay, Andrew, where can people find you?
Fucking.
On tour with Nikki.
Yeah, and I do my own thing.
Yeah.
No, I have a podcast. You did it. You were my favorite guest on it.
Yes.
I don't just say that when I do other people's podcasts, but I did say it to three other people.
Okay.
No, you were my favorite. You really were. Like, there's a connection here that is beyond blood.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond semen, beyond spit.
It really is.
I can't wait to leave here and be like, I think I overdid it.
You can never overdo it on here.
So I have a podcast called Puddles with Andrew Collin. It's been so much fun. I've had like 12 episodes. I love it. You're amazing. You were the last one. Andrew T. Collin on Instagram. And then, I'm on tour. If you go, literally go to NikkiGlaser.com. I'm coming to, when's this come out?
Probably 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I'll probably be in DC that weekend.
Great.
At the Improv. And then at the turn of year, she's doing a theater tour.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to get to perform at fucking theaters and it's going to be unbelievable.
I love it. I'm here for it.
And I'm single now.
And I'll put him up, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Andrew Collin. Follow him, Andrew T. Collin on Instagram. And we'll be back.
Will we?
I don't know. I feel like I got to do an outro. Thanks for coming in.
Apologizing.
I'm going to do an apology outro after this.
I said Mensard. Sorry.
It's fine. It's okay. Fine. Love and light. Bye. I don't know about y'all, but I get hangovers like you wouldn't believe. I'm talking face down, ass up. Like I have the Sunday scaries. I'm calling upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like literally don't know what I'm going to do. And honestly, in my 30s, I don't have time for that. I've got too much to do. We are booked. We are busy. The good thing is I found this product called DHM Detox, and it is my go-to drinking buddy. It's basically a vitamin for people who love to drink. No one's ever going to take my two dirty martinis away from me. But the good thing is I can fight off a bad hangover by taking DHM Detox the night before while I'm having a couple cocktails, and it's changed my life. What people don't really realize is that actual like hangovers are caused by a product buildup, which is essentially a toxin that's in alcohol. It's the way your body breaks it down. So here's the deal. If you take DHM Detox, you're not going to have brain fog, nausea, headaches, any of that next day, like anxiety, Sunday scaries. All you do, you take two capsules after your first couple drinks, and it goes to work by breaking down the toxins, and it provides for your liver support. That's what you really need. As long as your liver can flush it out, you're going to be good. It's a blend of herbal ingredients and vitamins that are optimized to fight off the negative effects after drinking. The ingredients in DHM are just a natural extract used in Asia for centuries. And you know, everybody in Asia knows what's good. Basically, they've been using this in Asia to prevent hangovers. And it comes from a Japanese raisin tree, also known as the Tree of God, for all of its great properties. The product also has things like milk thistle, prickly pear, NAC, B-complex, and electrolytes. So mix that all together and you take that while you drink and you're going to feel like a champ the next day. It's got convenient little packs. You just throw them in your purse, take them on the road anywhere you go. It's now truly a part of my drinking routine. I always keep them in my purse so I don't ever have to panic that I'm going to feel bad the next day. Here's the thing. It has a risk-free purchase. So if you don't feel better after taking the product, all you have to do is let them know and they'll give you your money back. It's literally a no-brainer. Listeners get 20% off their first order. Just head over to dhmdetox.com. Use my promo code absolutely at checkout. That's D-H as in Heather, M as McMahon, detox.com. Also, there's free shipping if you buy more than a couple of boxes. So if you have any questions, send all your messages at dhmdetox on Instagram and use my code absolutely for 20% off your order.
Hey, Heather, it's Sarah.
I just wiped off puke off my child in the backseat as I was going to call you. And believe it or not, that's not my absolutely not today. That's just, you know, the reality that you have when you have unprotected sex. So the main reason why I'm here, besides the fact that I stopped taking Adderall for the first time in like 18 months, and I just like don't even know anything anymore, and I've been double fisting Cheez-Its like it's my job today. I want to talk about the fact that there is like no one that we can make fun of anymore, except for white conservative males. And I'm not here to say that we shouldn't make fun of white conservative males. Absolutely, we should. I just miss the days of Seinfeld, and I miss the days of Friends, and I miss The Office, and I miss these great sitcoms that nowadays would not fly if they were broadcasted because everyone would be so offended by everything. So as a millennial, I love to be offended, sure. Like, this offends me, obviously, but I'm so sick of not being able to poke fun of anyone unless they are a white conservative man. So sick of it. That's about it. Let's talk about it. Love you. Bye.
Sarah, this made me laugh so hard. Holy shit. This is funnier than shit. I mean, wow. How did we even unpeel this? This is like a 6-part series. One, I'm so sorry you got vomited on, but you're a good mom and you're really doing the most. Two, thank you for reminding me how pregnancy happens. I am so terrified of getting pregnant right now. I'm on birth control, knock on wood, real hard. Because here's the deal. I know that you bitches, all of you, would think it's great content and my life is just getting started and it would be a big wrench in the plan. But I know if we had a baby, it'd be beautiful, whatever, yada, yada, yada. I'm your girl's not ready. But I love that honesty. You're like, that was just such a raw moment, you know? Well, that's what happens when you don't wrap it up or pull out, you know? That was great, Sarah. Thank you for that human moment. That was such a bit of just feminine power and prowess. I'm so glad you shared that with me. Three, where do we draw the line? Here's the thing. I think this voicemail came on a great night. Great morning, whenever you're listening to this, because, you know, as you just listened to the episode with Andrew, and I try to get him to stay for the voicemails, but truly, he's a white male, he's Jewish though. So he and I can throw back and forth Jewish jokes, but it is, we talk about it a lot. And that's the thing. When I hang out with my comedian friends, really there's nothing that we don't discuss. And I hear you, you know, it's one thing to say things on Instagram because I try and be very, you know, pretty open and honest and everybody's fair play, but I'm very also self-deprecating. Like, the first person I'm going to make fun of is myself. Cause truly you have to speak from a place of truth. Right. And I can tell you and make fun of myself because I've been through certain things, but I agree. We're a soft society. God, The Office was the best show ever. If you like The Office, you need to watch Dairy Girls. Daddy Girls. It's so funny. You do have to sometimes watch it with subtitles, but it's raw. It's like that kind of humor. Listen, if you go to England and watch their shows, anything on the BBC, everybody gets made fun of. And I try to explain to people, I've been getting interviewed in all these, these publications, and I have to be careful because people, you know, will quote you, you know, or misquote you or whatever the fuck I'm trying to say. But basically, you know, they're like, you're not a mean comic. I'm like, no, I'm not. But when I sit around with my comedian friends who are of all different shapes, sizes, ethnicities, races, whatever, spiritualities, all of religions, all of it, we just rip each other apart because that's what we do. And I try to explain to people that comedy is finding a common ground and then peeling back those layers, right? You go out into the world, you observe something, then you peel back the layers of what makes us quote unquote uncomfortable or what makes us different. And then you find common ground with that, right? Everybody's got a crazy grandmother, whether she's Italian, Jewish, Asian, Mexican, Black, all of it. Everybody's got a crazy grandmother. But it's true. We do live in a society now where everybody gets really crazy. You know, everyone's like, you said something in 05. I hope that I'm a better person now than I was in 05. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm just throwing that out as like a random example. But you know what I mean? You can't say anything these days. And yeah, trust me, white men, I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for saying that. And I'm mostly embarrassed for men named Daryl. because they've made a lot of mistakes. But I miss having an LOL. And that's why I'm glad you guys got to hear Andrew, because Andrew's a buddy and we just sit and we fucking laugh. You know, we were both private school kids and we just love to rip on each other about it. But I really live in a little bit of a different headspace when I hang out with my comedian friends. Because it doesn't matter. You could sit across from a fellow comic who's Chinese and just, we could rip each other new assholes all day. You know what I mean? And that is our job. That is our mode of communication. And I just threw out Asian just so it's different than what I am. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's a different world out there. We're getting soft. Listen, if somebody's being mean, you know if they're being mean. I don't like mean people. If we're having a laugh and everything's lighthearted and you're having a laugh at me and I'm having a laugh at you and we're all on the same page, let's fucking laugh. But if I'm being an asshole, then I'm being an asshole. And then we need to shut it down. But I miss The Office. I miss Seinfeld, Friends. You know a show you need to watch, and I've encouraged everybody, now it's on Hulu, Designing Women. It was my favorite show of all time. That was a show about four smart, Southern, progressive women. Because, you know, it is my job to make the world know that all Southerners aren't fucking idiots and like white supremacist idiots, like absolute ding dongs. Watch Designing Women. It'll change your life. It's got Dixie Carter, Delta Burke, Annie Potts, Jean Smart. If you don't watch it, then I don't think you need to follow me anymore. It's some of the funniest, most progressive shit. You go back and watch old Golden Girls. That shit will have you rolling on the floor laughing. It's so fucking funny. Go watch some of those power player women, and they say it like it is and they keep it 100. So as long as you come to my podcast, I'll keep it 100. And this is a safe space. And if you want to call in and make fun of me, do it. 800-213-7503. Roast me. I'll roast you back, bitch. Thanks for that call. Thanks for reminding us to wrap it up. Take your birth control every day. Set a reminder on your phone. Wear condoms. Check your ovulation. And, you know, don't overfeed your baby Cheerios because then they'll vomit on you. Thank you for that PSA. It was a safety PSA. It was a sex health PSA. It was a bridging the gap political PSA. That was a lot. And so for that, that was an absolute yes. I like to start off the voicemails with an absolute yes. Thank you for that call. Now let's get to the next one. Absolutely not.
Heather, it's Megan from Austin. I actually met you at Nobu last weekend in Malibu, but I'm really sorry if we were annoying. You were on your way to a nice dinner. We were a little overserved. Anyways, I know you're at the airport quite often, so I wanted to share a few absolutely nots with you. First of all, men in sweatpants at the airport, if I can see the outline of your junk, no, go home. Second of all, farting in the TSA line. Absolutely not. This is disgusting. Farting as you're walking through the airport and making me walk you behind you. Absolutely not. Go home. Thanks. Love ya. Bye, girl.
Hey, girl. Thanks for calling in. Actually, you know, I was thinking about you. This was a rowdy bunch for those of you who were not at Nobu with us. I was walking into Nobu in Malibu, already feeling way cooler than I should have felt because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not the Nobu kind of gal. And this lovely group of ladies who were wasted, they had been drinking all day, living their truth, came up to me. They did say something before I get to the actual voicemail. They said something to me. The first question out of their mouth was, Heather, how many rings do you have around your butthole? And I said, what? And they were like, yes, that's a thing. And they giggled really hard. And you know, when you're like, oh no, how do I answer this question about my butthole? And they were just dying. They're like, no, sorry. We've been at a bachelorette party and we found out this is a new thing. So before I even get to your absolutely not, I'll say my absolutely not. The fact that I guess people now count the rings. This is what you told me. And I know you're not going to remember that you said this, but you said this to me, that now is a thing where people, if you're single and you're going to start dating, people want to know, like, I guess the way you described it was there's a tree trunk and your butthole has like lines in it. Similar to like lines on a tree trunk that tell its age. So you asked me what my butthole looked like. And I said, honestly, haven't seen it in a long time. So absolutely not to asking a lady that question. I enjoyed it. It tickled me pink, literally. But I sat in Nobu the rest of the night and just kind of thought, do I need to know what my asshole looks like? You know, is this a thing? Does Jeff judge it? Does he look? I don't know. I want you to know that I felt a little self-conscious the rest of the night because that question really threw me for a curve. Okay, but back to your question of an absolutely not men in sweatpants in the airport. I'll tell you what right now. No, it's too much. Okay. And listen, I know every gay man in America is going to be like, oh yeah, I love when I can see their dong. The rest of us don't want to see dong. Gay men are the only people who want to see dong. Okay. And that's fine. Live your truth. But don't come on a flight in gray sweatpants with your dingleberry and your ding dong just breezing in the wind. It's uncalled for. Because here's the thing. Even if I were to get a lady erection, we're on a flight. There's probably an air marshal. Even if you're sitting next to me and I'm single, I can't get on it. There's nothing I can do. So essentially, you're just being a big old tease. Okay. So you're looking at me, your penis is looking at me through those gray sweatpants. And if I wanted it, couldn't have it. Because if we started getting freaky on a plane, we'd both get arrested. Because you and I both know we can't fit in the lavatory bathroom together. You know what? I never understood absolutely not the Mile High Club. I don't get it. One, why would you want to have sex in the dirtiest place on earth? Not even on earth, in the stratosphere. Because you're literally not on earth in an airplane. You know, you're in the air. Because that's how biodynamics works. I threw out biodynamics as if I even knew what the fuck that meant. Here's the deal. When people are like, ooh, yeah, I gave him a BJ on a flight. Why? Even if the guy didn't have herpes, you're going to get a cold sore simply from the germs on the armrest that half your mouth is leaning onto. And you put a blanket over your head while you're... No, it's disgusting. Just get from point A to point B to have a glass of champagne, watch a tearjerker movie, and don't jerk anybody off. Okay? And if the pants didn't make me horny, it's gross. The days that I'm like PMSing and I want a penis as far away from me as possible are always the days that I get on some flight to, I don't know, Cincinnati. And I've never been there, but I'm just saying Cincinnati. It's a good word to say. And there's a guy who's got, he always has a duffel. Can we just point that out? The guy who comes on with no panties on and just his dingleberry just flapping in the wind, that man always has a duffel bag as his carry-on. And his name's always something like Mark. And he's like, what's up? I do CrossFit 3 days a week. But when I'm not doing CrossFit, I just don't wear underwear and let my balls breathe. Oh, did you also know I don't have a carry-on with wheels? I have a duffel. Absolutely fucking not, Mark. I mean, even if you're even if you're a gay man trying to flex your dick, wear a jock strap so at least it's put together. You know, and then when you're putting your things in the overhead bin, you can just flex the back of your jock strap so everybody gets a little look. And to the end of your question, ma'am, the farting in the airport, you know, the amount of butt dust that's out in the world and the amount of people just ripping ass on a daily basis. I swear to God, I was at a farmer's market today. Somebody and ran. Why is making that noise with your mouth just so funny? Here's the thing. I consider myself like highly intelligent. I've said this before. I'm not Mensa, but there's something about fart jokes that will never get old to me. I truly would laugh with like a pack of like 13-year-old boys over fart jokes. It makes me laugh. You want to make me laugh? Have you ever had the fart app on your phone? It's hysterical. Download the fart app on your mom's phone and just put it at the very front next to like text messages and just let her discover it one day. You'll get a phone call. She'll be on cloud nine. She'll be driving her minivan, just laughing her ass off. Literally. I love it. Don't fart in public, or at least just put your ass in a bush. TSA has enough to deal with. Like I said, airports and just airplanes, they're filthy. People are farting. People are letting their genitals hang out. And this sweet lady asked me how many rings I had on my butthole. It's inappropriate. Don't ask me those kind of things. Thank you, ladies, though, for saying hi. Really made my day. I want to thank y'all, as always, for tuning into the Absolutely Not podcast. When you send me messages every Wednesday when the new episode comes out and you're like locked and loaded and listening, it truly makes my day. As always, thank you for the support. I just feel so honored and blessed. And just, this is the coolest job ever. I love getting to just sit and chat with y'all and bitch and giggle and LOL. And I'm so sorry that I said the word butthole so many times today. I really apologize. My mom's going to call me in about 15 minutes and scream at me. So just know that that's like the devil that's on my shoulder. Anyways, as always, tune in, subscribe, send it to your friends, send it to your aunt, maybe not your mom this week because it said butthole. But anyways, if you want to call into the voicemail, please, please call into the Absolutely Not line at 800-213-7503. Again, it's 800-213-7503. Have a blessed week and I'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. And as always, follow me on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon. See you guys soon.